Wagwan,
are we in now?
Oh, we're in.
Back in the building.
Bob, it feels weird.
It's like a brand new podcast. It's like we're starting a whole new project.
It's like we're just learning to be friends all over again. do you know the real reason why we've not been doing a pod for ages? Because Double stopped talking to me, innit?
Don't do that. Because now people are going to be like, oh shit, really? What happened?
It was bloody hell. What's happening, guys? How are we? How are you, Dubs? First and foremost.
I'm on the tail end of, you know what? Actually, I didn't really want to start the podcast this way, or I should say restart it, because this is really, really not good. But I had the most depressing New Year's Eve ever, bruv.
Oh my days, man.
for like a week in bed with whatever virus they want to call this one, and it's not good vibes. Yeah, I'm all right. You can hear I'm a little bit bunged up. I'm on the tail end of it. But we had this date set in for the re-record date, so there was absolutely no way that I was cancelling this one and going, nah, I'm ill. Otherwise, that was it. It was going to be like, okay, we're never, ever, ever re-recording this pod again.
Rob, it was like it was never going to happen at one point, innit? I can't lie.
It did feel like that.
I was getting bare messages, brother. But my mum would DM in the Instagram account. People on Twitter, like, what are going with the talkover, man? It's been like 8 months, Dred.
Yeah, do you know what? Big up to everyone. I had the same, you know. I had quite.
Has it been that long, actually?
No, I think the last one dropped April. April or May. But yeah, big up to everyone actually that did stay onto us in the DMs, because in truth, like, that was one of the motivating factors for me to be like, nah, you know what? We do actually really need to revamp this thing, because there's a market there. People are asking where we've been after all this time. Still now they're asking, like, when's the next episode coming? So
I just posted a picture on the Instagram then, just a little picture of the setup saying we're back, yeah, and I see a couple of DJs just throwing their hearts up and that. So like the people are there, innit? Listen, all we can do is apologise, innit? But like, I'm just going to say, life happened, innit? Life happened, bro. Like,
Are we going to give reasons and excuses, or are we just going to actually just going to be like, meh?
No, I don't mind keeping it 100% real, to be fair.
What's your excuse?
Bro, do you know, to be completely, fully, 100% transparent with the reason why I stopped podding, bro, I just didn't feel mentally in the right space to be on a podcast, man. Like, coming out of lockdown and that, I don't know, we were still recording, we're still doing the episodes, but for me, I was just like, look, I can't sit on a podcast talking the things, trying to give out gems, when mentally I'm not even feel like I'm sat in the right space so, like, to come on here and be saying a lot of stuff. For me, it was just, I had to just pull away and have a bit of a revamp in it and realign energies and life. And man had a bit of a midlife crisis still.
He said midlife crisis.
I swear, bro. And that was all it was for me, really. It was just more about taking a break and figuring out the things that I love, how I want to move forward. And obviously podcasting has always been our thing. It's always been our bag, but yeah, it's sometimes you got to step away to come back and step forward in it, and that was pretty much where I was at. So yeah, man.
You know what I think it is, as like, it's important as creatives. I hate that phrase, creatives, but as people,
the most used word of 2022.
Yeah, I hate it, but as people that work in like the creative space, and as like, our job is to create, innit? We get paid basically to create, and like, I think it's very important sometimes that you do actually have to take this time off. When you feel it, you've got to sit back down and just chill. Otherwise, you end up overworking yourself. You end up hating doing what you're doing. Quality drops. Everything just turns.
I think that's where I was at with this pod, bro. Like, the last couple of episodes, not like it was. It wasn't that I wasn't enjoying it, but I just wasn't I wasn't present in some of the episodes. Like, I'm there, I'm here, and I'm chatting. But like, in the back of my mind, like, I just wasn't present, and like, I would look back on it. I was thinking, nah, it's not good enough, man. Like, I need to get my shit needs to be correct before I put my face back on camera and start talking crud again. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
because a lot's happened, bro. It's been a long year, fam.
It has been.
And coming out the back of a pandemic as well, bro. Like, it's been a lot for everybody.
I was gonna say, you were also mad active with building Compound.
And that and the compound stuff, like, Yeah, because we spoke about it on the pod, like even with the DJ stuff, I kind of just started falling out of love with it a little bit. And I was like, I need to get back to where I need things to be, where I'm in control again and we can run. Do you know what I mean? Like Compound is where it needs to be now. It's moving along nicely. Like we've not spoke about it on here for what, eight months or something. So yeah, man, I think this whole year has just been about stepping away and then pulling the right things back together in it. And obviously the podcast is an integral part of what we're doing. So we have to get back on here, bruv. Definitely. Put the world to rights.
Put the world to rights. Feed the DJ community.
Got a new setup now in the back in the crib, out yeah, of the studio.
That's looking very studio vibes where you are right now.
Yeah, this is I won't show you the other side. So I'll show you what's going on over there. But yeah.
Same.
I'm basically in my living room right now, but I've managed to get it. We got it nice. So, because obviously Double lives 500 miles away from me. So, yeah the whole sitting down and recording together, but we're still on Zoom. We're making it work.
And it's all vibes. Excuse my coughing, by the way. It's that time of year.
But I'm not the only one. I woke up feeling sick today. I was like, I can't cancel.
Yeah.
I can't cancel. Double cancelled on me already. We were meant to do a pilot episode at Christmas, which went out the window. So, one thing we are promising right now, yeah, sound clip this. One thing we are promising right now is consistency.
Yeah, we're back now. Every week we are back.
Weekly episodes, bro. Yeah, I'm going to take this clip out. This is the first one that's going on Instagram, and then anybody can come back to it and throw it back in our faces if we flop, yeah?
Yeah, we are back every week. But however, we are doing it slightly differently because we've recognized that our crazy hectic schedules don't work hand in hand with relentlessly recording the pod forever with no end date. So the Talk Over podcast is now going to come at you in seasons.
Yes, sir.
So this is the very first episode of season two.
And Double will turn his phone on silent.
And, huh?
And Double will put his phone on silent.
Oh, my bad.
I'm joking, fam. We're not that serious. Fucking hell.
I didn't even hear my phone. This is the first episode of season two. And then at the end of season two, obviously, there's going to be like, I don't know, a very short break before season three starts.
We say a break, but it's just more of like, I don't know, man. It's not even a break, is it? Like, it's just... You gotta let seasons breathe. You have a season one and then season two starts the following week, does it? Like you have a little, let it breathe.
Gives us a chance to basically sell season three to a sponsor.
Exactly. are we begging for sponsors on our first episode back? Yeah.
No, we don't beg, bro. They're kind
season
of
two.
Yeah, this is the number one DJ podcast in the country. And actually, you know what? Another thank you. Our numbers have been consistently high, even though we haven't been like recording. And
yeah, that's
releasing.
Actually crazy.
Like people, there's been discovery. New people have been discovering old episodes. Someone actually messaged me the other day and was like, oh yeah, I'm finally just catching up on all the Talk Over episodes. And I was like, right, when did you start? And he was like, oh, I found it 6 weeks ago.
Oh shit.
And I was like, that's mad because we haven't released for like 6 months.
You see the guy from Australia?
No, no,
big up the Aussie gang.
Someone from Australia, but I can't remember who it was now. But someone DM'd me on Instagram.
Yeah, it's actually sick that people still stay tapped in, to be fair, especially with not being uploading. But like you say, bruv, like if people go on there and they find us, there's 120. See, season one was 122 episodes. Yeah, season exactly. Two is not going to be 122 episodes, by the way. Let's just put that out there right now.
It's going to be straight to it. But
have you got any, yeah. Right, I'll tell you what, actually, before we go anywhere, we've never even grazed over season one. We've never even like looked back over like
done a recap
any of the episodes like properly. Like, do you have like a personal like favorite episode out of them first 120 episodes? Because to be fair, I was looking back at it the other day. Yeah, we don't even give ourselves enough props, mate. Some of the guests. And some of the gems that we've had on here, bro. When I was flicking back through some of the episodes, I was just trying to whet my appetite again. I was like, let's go back over some old episodes, you know what I mean? Get inspired. I was like, bro, we've got some man on here, you know? Dudes, I remember coming through like young, thinking, like looking up to these dudes.
Yeah. And
100%. Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, man, we've had some great episodes, bro. I was listening back to the Spoony one for me is one of the most legendary ones, only because I was just a big garage don in it growing up. So.
Yeah, I was
acted like a little fanboy bitch on that episode, man. I swear, bro. I'm thinking, this guy is nervous. Look at this guy.
Not at all. No. That was actually, I was going to say that was one of my favorite episodes. Spoonie's a gentleman, man. He's always been a good guy to me anyway.
That was your plug in. I don't know Spoonie like that. So when Double was like, yeah, Spoonie's coming. And I was like,
Spoonie's a very, very cool guy, man. I'd love and to have him.
Fanboy moment.
I'm looking through the list now, you know. I want to have a look and see if there's any I've forgotten.
Oh, by the way, as well, Litech, we had Litech on not long before the end of season one. Can we just say big up to Litech, by the way? Because you see that guy, but my man has got, since that episode, he is behind like a heap of the biggest records to come out of the country, bro.
Literally, like, some of the biggest records to come out of the UK. Like,
my man's PRS, Litech, let me a tenner, please, bro.
Well, I mean, you know what's funny? You know what's mad as well? Like, he came onto the podcast and very shortly after had all that success and now has become one of the most in-demand producers in the UK.
Yeah,
I don't think that's not coincidence, mate.
I'm not surprised, man.
And then all of that stuff happened.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to say we had anything to do with that whatsoever.
Yeah. There's no coincidences, bro. Litech, you're welcome, brother.
I'm not surprised. I'm not even surprised, man. He was always destined for the greatness. Yeah, I didn't think it would be as quick the way it elevated, but yeah, amazing. Yeah, for my guy. He's gone now. I can't even see him now. Don't answer my calls no more. Doesn't reply to my text messages.
No, you're mad. He'll come back on.
He'll come back on.
You know what, actually? Nadia J's always been one of my favorite guests as well. She keeps it real when she's on here.
Yeah, she's a G, man. She does keep it real, to be fair.
I like Nadia J. She was a very good guest. I don't know. I think one of my personal favorites has to be Shorty Blitz. I nearly said Shorty Bless, my bro. Wow. He actually hasn't been on yet either. We need to get Shorty Bless on. But Shorty Blitz.
Hip hop royalty.
Literally, like...
He's like...
I said it on the podcast that he was on. He is one of the reasons I do what I do, the way that I do it.
Yeah, that's sick. That's sick, man.
Shorty Blitz was the inspiration behind.
He was so chill. He was so chill as well, bruv. Like, that was just like chopping up with one of the boys, innit? And they're the best ones. They're the best ones, innit? I don't like it when we get guests on. It's like trying to flipping draw blood out of a stone.
Like, definitely.
It can be hard work, but when the man them come on and it's just like super chilled, kosher conversation. But like, before you meet him, you could easily be like, not even starstruck, but you don't know what to expect from these dudes, innit? But they're just real geezers like us at the end of the day.
Had you met Shorty before that episode?
I'd met him once or twice. Like, we crossed paths and we knew each other, like, just from being on the scene over the years, innit, man? We did try to book him once or twice. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen. But yeah, man, sick. Proper sick to finally get him on and chop it up. That was a long episode as well, bro.
Yeah, sick. Sick episode, bro. I love that. That's another thing, actually, guys, that we're going to be doing a little bit differently in season two. They're going to be slightly shorter, more concise episodes, I think, with less bullshit.
Less waffle.
Less bullshit. No, we didn't bring bullshit anyway, but slightly shorter episodes. Because the reason is, as well, it gives us actually more time to do what we need to do with the episode and get it out to the audience. Otherwise, we end up with these massive 3-hour long episodes that we can't really do a lot with. Other than just post.
No one wants to hear me and Double waffling for 3 hours.
The numbers say differently, bro. The numbers say differently. We're the number one DJ podcast in the country for a reason. People do want to hear us talk shit, apparently.
Apparently. How's your year been anyway, Dubs, man? Talk to me, bro, before we go in. How was 2022 for you?
I'm going to be 100% honest, bro. I think it was one of the best years of my life. For real, it honestly was. It started nicely. I started in January last year, just in chill mode. Every January, I don't really take too much on. I just like to relax and chill. Took a holiday, went up to Scotland, did some snowboarding. And then as soon as I came back from that, literally hit the ground running. And obviously, I started the UK tour with RD in March. We toured the whole country. Absolutely, like, every show sold out.
Have you already started touring? Was you already touring when we did the last episode? Because obviously the whole thing was starting to build
Nice. No, so yeah, but that was last year, remember? Not last year. I mean, it was 2021 was when I started working with RD. It's been, well over a year now. It was end of August, or it was September 2021, because it was Freshers Week 2021 that I had my first live show with him officially.
Right, okay.
We'd done bits together in Brighton, but that wasn't RD shows. That was just because we're both from Brighton.
When did the actual the proper touring started in 2022 though, right?
I mean, we did the club tour in 2021, but his UK, like his headline UK tour was in March last year.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And that was, you know, we did the Manchester date and you came and shot some footage.
Why does that doesn't even feel that long ago, man? What is going on? These last three, four years just feel like one long ass fucking year, mate.
One big blurry year. Literally. But yeah, man, it's been no lie, it's been amazing. Because yeah, like I say, we did the UK tour. Then we did, going into the summer, we did some overseas shows. Then we did literally every major festival you can think of. The overseas festivals as well. We did a bunch of holiday resorts. Then we did, coming out of the summer, we did Dubai. Like, I did Dubai on my birthday with RD, which was fucking sick.
Bro. Yeah, have you heard this, guys? This guy's like, just come to stunt on us today, innit?
But you know what? I mean, you did ask, so I'm dropping
I knew what the answer was going to be, innit? let him go.
And coming out of the summer, we did Dubai again. And in October, we did the Australia and New Zealand tour, which was, bro, Australia and New Zealand are sick. I had no idea. UK rap out there, I would go as far as saying, UK rap in Australia and New Zealand is bigger there than UK rap is in England.
For real?
That's how it felt.
Wow. Because I feel like, bro, do you know what's mad? I feel like, now you say that, I see like even people like H and shit, like they got like a sick pocket audience. Australia.
H is there now.
Yeah, there you go.
He's out there right now.
I feel like these men always end up heading over to that side of the world, which is crazy because it's so far away and then all the bit in the middle gets missed.
Yeah.
So, got like Europe, nothing, Australia.
I don't know why it is like,
it's crazy.
That whole section, especially like a large portion of Asia as well, which is between here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that UK rap even has a market there. It's probably something to do with the language barrier, which is why in Australia
it works.
Yeah, the language is synonymous, obviously, isn't it? So, and a lot of the slang is as well. There's not a huge difference in slang. So like they understand everything, which is why, you know, there's a little bit of a gap between UK and America. Because the slang's different. They don't quite understand everything. That's just one thing. But in Australia, like a lot of the slang is synonymous. So they get what's going on.
Some of that Australian rap is crazy, man. YJ played me they did that Australian version of when H dropped Taste. They did like a load of international versions of it. They did an Aussie one. I don't even know if it got released. And this guy was spitting mad, bro. I cannot remember, man. This was before Taste even came out. Years ago. And like he was playing us in the studio and they had like a bunch of international ones to tap in. You know how they do it, so they can tap into the different audiences around the world and that. I just remember the Aussie one sounding like with the accent and that, it was a bit mad at first, yeah. But like my man was talking the most though, even though the accent was a bit crazy.
Yeah, I quite liked it. I met a few of the Australian rap guys out there, and a couple of them are sound as hell, man. Like, really cool. And they've got their own thing going on. It's nowhere near as big as the UK rap is out there.
Yeah.
I feel like, no, it's almost like, you know, 10 years ago here, US rap was still running it, but UK had its thing bubbling. That's what it feels in Australia now. It feels like the Australian scene is bubbling and the rap fans there like it. But if a UK artist comes over, the Australians are getting dashed to the side and it's we just want the UK guys. But that might also be accessibility. Do you know what I mean? Like they don't get access to the UK rappers all the time because they're on the other side of the world. So when the rappers go over there, it's a big deal for them.
Did you do festivals out there? Was it club shows or a bit of both?
No. It wasn't club shows. It was concerts, like stage. It wasn't festivals.
Okay.
RD's actual headline tour. So he was the headliner.
Oh, shit.
Most of the venues sold out. And if they weren't sold out, it was because the original venue had sold out and they upgraded it.
I was going to ask, like, what kind of artists are on these lineups? Because I seen H on a bill and I was like, the lineup is so varied and random, though. And then, like, H is just in there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you see lineups in the UK and everyone kind of compliments each other. But these Aussie ones, they seemed a bit, it was all a bit mix and match. But obviously, if it works for their market, I've never been to Australia in it. So
yeah.
I have no idea what it's like out there.
I mean, with Oz, it was very much like they were into UK rap. But okay. I do think, like, they love drum and bass out there as well. I do think in the middle of, like, you know, I do like a warm up before RD comes out and all of that stuff. I think if I'd gone into doing like a little drummer bass set before he came out, I think it would have gone off. Like, I do think they still would have had it.
But drum and bass warm up before RD comes out.
Yeah. I think because that, the crowd would have, I feel like it could have gone that way. Do you know what I mean? If I decided to do it.
Yeah.
I just kept it hype with the hip hop, drill, rap, that kind of warm up.
When you think about it, it's actually mad, man. How these UK artists are tapping up an audience so far away, even with the language barrier. Like, is this are these artists trying to specifically target these areas, or are these people just picking up on our shit? Do you know what I'm saying? Because like some people they'll market and advertise towards certain areas of the world. You know, we're trying to tap into the American audience, or Australian audience, or whatever. But I don't know. It seems like it's an interesting one, bro. Because
it's definitely a combination of the two. Okay. I think the Australians that are into UK rap, they look at things like Daily Duppies. They look at like Voice of the Streets freestyles. Do you know what I mean? And all of that kind of stuff. They do look at all the different types of things that we have going on here online. But at the same time, I think it's the labels. I think AJ Tracy's big out there and he's independent. But majority of the big, big artists out there, I think they're all signed to a label. Okay. And the label obviously has an Australia division. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, got you.
Because we met all the people from the label that have been working RD's project out there.
Sick.
And yeah, they've been working hard, bro.
So basically, Double for the last year has just been living a good life, traveling the world,
exceptionally, festivals and world tours and stuff, and not just with RD as well, man. Potter absolutely shelled his festival shows this year. Like, that guy's. His fan base is sick as well. I think I said it last time I spoke about doing shows with Potter Paper. Like, his fan base is sick. Potter's existence on the stage is incredible. Our festival shows this year, me and Potter, were better than the ones we did last year.
Okay.
So, just to summarize, 2022 was fucking incredible.
But I was tired watching your story, man. I was like, I'll just message him from time to time, like, where are you today?
Yeah.
What part of the world are you in today, bro? I can't keep up. Man's like, you was moving like Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can.
That's kind of how it felt, bro.
Country hopping, you know.
You know what I do regret, though? And the thing is, I couldn't have done it differently, but obviously, when you're doing these tours and shows, I'm focused on the music. I'm focused on the live show and making sure everything's perfect on show day from my point of view. And so I don't have a lot of it as content that I can like vlog with or anything like that. I'll be honest, bro. I just didn't have the energy to do my job properly, do all the traveling about. Enjoy myself and do the vlogging on top.
It's that catching it. You need to pay somebody to go with you, bro.
I'm
exactly the same. I always say, I'm going to film today. I'll get my vlog rig out. And I'm just like, there's too much going on. I did it on New Year's Day. I wanted to vlog the brunch. I've got my camera. I've got my big flipping anal beads out and that, you know, the gorilla pod. Like, I'm ready to go. Got there, put the camera down, didn't record nothing, mate. Like, when you're in the moment and you're concentrating, ain't got time for that, man. Like, and especially if you're dealing with the shows, like, there's a different level of responsibility involved. The last thing you can be doing is fucking around with a camera and then you miss your cue point or something.
This is the point. This is why after the show, I end up begging everyone for content.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, if I see one of the boys on the team have posted a video of the show, I'm like, can you send me that so I can post it? Because I don't mind so much if I'm DJing. I don't do it as much, but if I'm DJing, cool. I don't mind capturing a little Instagram story or a little video clip. But if the artist I'm DJing for is on the stage, Bro, imagine I miss a very crucial part or something goes wrong and I'm stood there like this with my phone out.
Filming it.
Recording the crowd just to stunt on Instagram for everyone that's not there.
Yeah,
and now I've messed up the actual live show for the artist that's on stage and the people that are in the building to see that artist.
100%, bro.
For what? Because I want a 10-second clip on Instagram to show everyone how cool I am. Like, nah, 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 nah. I'm focusing on the job. Focusing on the job.
D James is away now and I think he's took someone with him. Like, a lot of the, I think that's the key now, isn't it? You got to bring someone along. You got to be able to just let them just be the fly on the wall and follow you around and film around you, innit? Like, you don't even know they're there, kind of thing. Like, that's the best way to do it, but it's not financially viable for everyone. Because video guys, bruv, yo, they'll be asking for more money for that video than what the gig's paying.
Well, this is the thing. This is like, it's a tricky one.
I do videos as well, bro, so I know how it goes. Like,
it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, like, I never want to ask anyone to work for free.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And that's why I've got like, shouts to Courty, who's RD's videographer. He runs One Time Productions and he's putting together a video of the European tour that we did. Cause I didn't get any content. So I just asked him, can you just throw some clips together and chuck them out? Mm-hmm. But it's one of them things where it's like, I don't want to ever ask anyone to just roll for free and do their job for free. Cause I wouldn't do mine for free. But at the same time, you do have to balance it because am I really going to pay like 70% of what I'm making for a videographer to come just so I can show everyone what I've been doing? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So, like,
I think it depends on the booking, you know. I think it depends on the booking, bro, you know, as well. Like,
well, maybe, but
I see, like, Tony Perry posted on the other week and it was like a Wembley Stadium NFL thing. And the camera's like following him along the side of the pitch and these fireworks, brother, it looked like a movie, Jed. So like, I'm like, in these situations, it's like, but you know what it's like, man, the perception out here in this world, that's what people are living on now, innit? So
yeah, but
the gig might not be in all that, but like, on when you see the video, that shit looking shiny as hell, you
know? Yeah, it's true. It's a double-edged sword, really, isn't it? Because like, for me, I don't really make the content. I don't make video content based off of my jobs for other people to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't post videos and cool stuff to be like, for other people to look at and be like, oh, okay, sick. I have to book that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I make it because I want to watch it back and relive the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like when we did Wembley last year, I put a reel together and it was just clips. It was like 90-second clips in total of how the day went. But I did it because I wanted to watch it back and have access to that day again if I want to watch it back. But obviously social media is there, so I'm going to post it anyway. But I didn't post it for everyone.
I feel
make sense?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Like, some people, like you say, everyone has different priorities, man. Like, some people will do it for their own records. Like, my mum used to vlog back in the day, vlogs, and you'd say the same then. Like, even if nothing comes out of this or whatever it is, like, I've got, like, a documentation of my life that I can look back over, like, videos 100%. With my little one and family and everything else. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I get it, man. But then you get 100%. Dudes that are just, like, they want to live that Instagram life, innit? And everything's done to look great on social media, which, I mean, it accumulates more work and it definitely does the job, but I guess it just depends where your priorities are.
Do you think it does do the job? I think for some people, but I mean, like,
for some, bro, there's so much involved now, bro, with how technical these algorithms are, and like, a lot of content just falls by the wayside. Like, I've noticed now, even any kind of longer video never really bangs on socials now. It's all about short form content, isn't it? It's all about quick clips, and people's brain spans ain't longer than 20 seconds on a video, man, before they're turning or flicking to the next thing. Like, it's actually quite sad, isn't it?
It's very sad. And you know what? I'm disappointed YouTube have fallen into that as well now.
But because, they're all chasing the bag. TikTok have come out and said, right, we're going this way. And now everybody's like, right, we're going this way. We're going this way too. Quick, let's go. Instagram are trying to be like TikTok. YouTube are trying to be like, it's all, bruv. Before you know it, man, the world's just going to be full of fucking dumb idiots. No joke, no joke. Bro, this thing is nullifying people's brains.
Yeah, proper. Like, it's taking away attention spans. I've noticed it with me. certain videos, if they don't get to the point within about 10 or 15 seconds,
it's gone, isn't it? It's on to the next one, bro.
I don't even care what you're saying anymore. Like, give me, like, if you're not to the point within 10 or 15 seconds and I'm not engaged, I'm on to the next.
Even we're going to start doing it now. We're going to start posting short clips.
Literally. You have to play the game when you're doing content.
Oh, family.
Do you have a favorite song from 2022?
We touched on this before we hit record, didn't it? But I was... Do you know what? Yeah, I don't even know, man. I know what the standout biggest song is. It's easy, isn't it?
But no, I don't think it is easy.
But right, okay. So you ask any black music DJ. I'm not going to use the word urban anymore, man. That word is banned, family. Yes,
dead.
Yeah, they're probably gonna say Burna Boy last, isn't it? They're gonna say that.
Out of the black music culture, it would be Burna Boy or Doja.
Yeah, I didn't really get down with that song like that, man. But I'm just not into 70 BPM UK rap music.
You don't like drill?
No, I don't like it, man. I like the record. Yeah, it's a banger, in it, of course. But I definitely didn't play that. No way near as much in my sets as last gets one every set, in it.
Yeah, and I break the rule with last. I'll play it more than once.
I'll play the first one, pull it up, and then play the Ganja Farmer edit, then pull it up, then play the I've got it over Bartender, bro. Oh, that one goes down with the ladies, mate.
I'll always, to bring last in, I say always, mostly always do some kind of a cappella trick with it. So I'll bring the a cappella over whatever instrumental I'm deciding to mix. And then cut it all down, everyone's doing the sing-along bit, and that's when I start the original from scratch. But yeah, without a doubt, bro, I'm playing the song more than once if I'm doing a long set.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, 100%.
You'll play that song twice in a set.
Twice at different parts of the night.
We have definitely got a soundbite in one of our episodes where Double says he'll never play the same song twice in a set.
No, and that's what I'm saying now.
Can I insert that here?
That's good luck finding it.
I know.
That's what I'm saying now. Like, I will break the rules for that song because I love it. And anyone that follows me on Instagram, anyone that's been in a car with me, anyone that's even been to any of my sets this year knows how much I love that song.
It's a big record, man. Love, but it became so gimmicky so quick though, bruv.
I don't think it did. It really didn't for me.
If there's one song to leave in 2022, yeah, it's that one.
No.
For me.
No. Never, ever, ever. That is now... It's a timeless classic, bro.
You think that's a timeless classic?
Timeless.
Behave yourself, man. The original is a timeless classic.
Yeah, I would agree.
The original.
But even now, with how big Last is, yeah, I can guarantee you majority of people still don't know that there's an original.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because that was like...
90s.
Mid-90s? I remember like that, mum used to be bumping when I was a youth. Mm. My mum used to bump them Tony Braxton joints, mate. Flipping. Yeah.
The original. I'm not taking away from the original at all. I loved it. You know what's annoying? I would play the original in my warm-ups, or like if I'm doing Nighttown or whatever, I would play the original.
Will you play the original?
Yeah, like I would play the Tony Braxton just in my normal sets if I'm doing warm-ups or in Nighttown or whatever. And then when Last came, so I'm talking about before Last existed to us, I'm playing the original.
And it's getting no reaction?
No, I mean, it's just warm-up vibes, so I'm not expecting it to go off at all. But now Last come, everyone else is playing the original. Every time I play the original now, I feel like a sheep. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people are going to be straight, he's only playing it because of Last. Like, no.
Nah, that's tribe.
No.
That Tony Braxton joint has been getting bumped for the longest, fam.
Forever.
Yeah, bro. But Tony Braxton, 30.
Last is not getting left last year.
No. Probably the biggest song of the year, man. I reckon.
Yeah, 100% my favorite. It's my favorite song of last year.
It's not my favorite. It's definitely not my favorite song of last year, man.
I can't get bored. You know, as a DJ as well, when you're playing these songs, like you hear them 54 million times everywhere, yeah, and you have to play them in the set. I cannot get bored of it, bruv. It's like crack.
Why?
The song is like crack. I could put it on now. Even, bro, I don't remember if I told you this, but when I first got sent it, I had to do a journey from like Birmingham to London, which is like, I think it was a 2.5 hour journey. There was only one song I listened to for that whole journey.
Oh my.
And the car was never silent. Oh. So for 2.5 hours, yeah, I had Last on repeat for 2.5 hours.
To be fair, it is definitely least insulting because you play it once and then you'll just be walking around all day like, my ayo, like I was before we started recording on this podcast.
Exactly.
I was just sat here just singing it to myself, bruv. Yeah, it's an easy one, isn't it? It's a home run, I think, for the biggest record. I've seen bare people dropping it on the countdown and that. And yeah, I never even DJed New Year's Eve, so I didn't even get to pick a song this year. But
yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I was ill.
Biggest song of the year. My favorite one is probably my favorite song.
Yeah, favorite. I don't want to talk about biggest. I want
in
talk
my club
favorite.
Set. My favorite song. It is of last year, isn't it? My favorite genre of last year was fully Afrobeats, bruv. Afrobeats and I'm a Piano was my thing, man. Yeah, like, it still is. Maybe the Oxlade joint, you know.
What the colors?
Closer.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? See that song up
that's
here?
Your favorite one?
Up here. Oh, bro. Oh, the dance floor is getting down when that joint comes on. Yeah, that's in there, mate. It's in the bag for me. That one, it's up there. This is the thing. My favorite songs are not. I don't like the bait songs. Will never be my favorite songs. Like last, I would. Yeah, it is a little bit bait, but it was a Colors release.
Yeah, but
it just, I know,
which again, that's another weird thing about music right now.
Weird, isn't it?
Like a Colors, which is effectively an artist freestyle platform, basically.
Yeah, it's basically like a wet version of fucking Fire in the Booth.
A wet Fire in the Booth. So it's actually quite mad that became such a big hit and it's getting run in the clubs and stuff.
I think just the way Afrobeats resonates, brother, like it's the way it travels, like the sound, the energy around
the
it.
The frequencies, man. It's just
it reminds me of like old dancehall.
Really?
Like, yeah, not like the sound, obviously, but the way like old dancehall just had that vibe around it. Like, I don't really like new school dancehall. Like a lot of the shit that comes out now, don't really do it for me. But like the older dancehall, like that, it just had like this aura around the sound, and it was just like feel good. Like that's how I feel now about Afrobeats, or felt about dancehall 15 years ago. Maybe that shit just makes me feel all warm inside.
Mushy. I feel mushy inside. I
feel like mushy peas, bro.
I'm with you there, man. I actually fucking love Afrobeats.
Yep. Afrobeats was Afrobeats held the trophy for me last year, man. Easily. All my set. I was even taking bookings, bruv. I was taking bookings just doing Afrobeats sets last year. I took a couple. Well, it's just Afro. And then I got a booking just playing I'm a Piano at one.
What, just one I'm a Piano set for how long?
For just an hour. But like real I'm a Piano though, not just the betas. Like man was digging in some crazy stuff. Like we did that I'm a Piano themed compound, which was that was just ridiculous, man. Yeah, the music's carrying different energies at the minute. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, sick. I went to Amafest, which was down south during the summer. That was actually good. That was hard. You know, that was my first. That was my first time going to like a complete I'm a Piano event. And yeah, it was hard, man.
Oh, I tell you what, actually, another favorite song, brother, Beyonce's Cuff It, mate. I'm going to put it in the mix right now.
Cuff It?
That record. I'm falling in love. I'm going to dance. Hey, hey, hey. This is why Double needs to be fired right now. Can we play it? This one. I'm going to play it for 2 seconds because we might not get copyright. You know it, bruv. You know it. I'm going to play it. Hear that?
No. It's completely silent.
You can't hear that?
No.
Wow, that's weird. Why can't you hear that? That's loud. Not working. Anyway, Beyonce. You know it. It went massive on TikTok. Biggest, but all the listeners, they know what it is. Double doesn't know what Beyonce's cover is, man. For fuck's sake. It's like the biggest song in the world.
Safe. Cool. Not in my world, bro. It's not the biggest song in my world. I won't lie. I've got catching up to do with some music, bro. I'm a couple months behind with new music.
It's hard to stay on top of it now, man. It's too much, bro.
It's impossible to
save all the albums on Spotify, and I can't stay on top of it, man. There's too much to indulge in. Too many releases, 100 emails a day, 50 albums a week.
Oh, mate, it's crazy, isn't it? It is actually crazy.
And you get this one dude hitting you up on Instagram, giving you abuse because you're not listening to his one song that he sent in your email, brother, and he's barking at you. I'm like, yo, bro, hold it a second.
Not the one. It's not the one. Oi, the best news coming out of last year for the DJ community, 100,000% has to be Serato 3.0.
Yeah, this is what
them guys have done. They've absolutely taken the top off of the creativity and built on a whole new fucking level in there before they put the top back on.
Yeah, I don't think they realise the kind of worms that they've opened with that. Like, it's literally endless. Some other platforms have had it already in it. Like, I think, like, the algorithm DJ thing, and then I don't know the other names of the software, so I don't use none of them, brother. But they've all had it previously. They've had it for years, the STEM technology. Like, apparently Serato was basically last. They're kind of like Apple, innit? They let everyone, like, do it first.
Figure out all the mistakes.
Let them all blow the load, and then they'll be like, right, here we go. Oh, the slide in here. And they just do it. They've just done it, like, slicker for me. It's slicker and cleaner.
Because I'll be honest, bro. Like, up until when they announced that release, I was falling out of love with Serato. I was having a couple issues with it. Like, I was just very much like, it was a bit buggy on my laptop, and I was kind of getting over it, to be honest. And considering other options.
Where'd you go after Serato, though, man? You either change software, you just go to USBs, innit? Like, I see a lot of people doing the crossover to USBs, but I just can't do it without the laptop.
It's, yeah, you know what it is? Like, I don't think I could ever go to USB because I'm just so conditioned in how I use Serato to DJ.
Are we just shook for change, though? Because, like,
I don't think it shook. You know what it is? Do you know how long it is to retrain yourself to do what we do?
No, it's true.
What we do on Serato is muscle memory now.
I would panic. I would be panicking every selection. Like, I can't find... Imagine trying to find a song on a USB, bro. It'd be scrolling
With the little CDJ screen that's like 1 inch tall.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I need a whole laptop screen. And also, I find my path when I'm DJing, like the path of my set, I use it by looking at the whole library on the screen. Same. And I think, okay, that one, then I can jump to that one, then to that one. That, like, if I'm having to look and I can only see three at a time, that's really going to limit.
I feel like you have to learn. I guess these digital guys are like how we used to be with our record crates, where you just know where shit is, innit?
Yeah. 100%.
You just need to memorize where everything is, but to do that in a USB format, like, people always say to me, like, why don't you use USBs? It's like, you're going to give me a USB that can put 20,000 MP3s on it? And you want me scrolling through that?
No.
There was a keyboard on the deck, like a full, I think there's 3,000 might have like a little digital thing on it or whatever, but bro, even that's just long, man. I'm like, it's not.
Even then, yeah, it's not the one. Like, and then shout out to the DJs that can do it, but...
No stems?
Yeah.
No stems or USBs either. So you can't do nothing. Can't do none of that.
Exactly.
Can't create. Well, now, big up Serato, though, man. They sent out the beta early. We're in a WhatsApp group, aren't we, with like 150 DJs from all over the country. Shout out the We Are Nightlife group. Blakey's in there as well. So, yeah, they posted the link in and we all give it a little trial run. I was sold instantly, mate. Instantly, I've been doing it the hard way for years.
I still do it the hard way. Oh, you know what? God.
think I made 30 edits that first day, bro. I was like, wow.
I was sold on the idea instantly. But the problem I found was my laptop couldn't cope. I think a lot of DJs have had this problem. It takes up a lot of CPU power. Yeah, it takes up a lot of processing. And my laptop was not having it at all. Absolutely not having it. And so I downloaded the Serato 3.0. I think it was on the beta version. Opened it up and my entire library disappeared.
Oh, shit. Everything. Oh, yeah, because you have to do the whole... Yeah, you was meant to basically... On the beta, you had to download it separately, innit? And have two separate programs. You didn't want...
And no, that's what I did. So the Serato I was using, I renamed and I did all of that stuff. So that I now had three versions of Serato because I got the old one in case I ever need to use the SL3.
Oh, my days. Oh, yeah. They're finished now. But
now they're gone. Whoa, now, so.
One's got a relic sat in the living room now, G. Yeah. SL3 is a relic, bro.
Send that to the museum.
Oh, my days.
Yeah. Put that on the shelf with your vinyl. I have the second Serato, which is the one I use with club kits and when I'm doing club shows and stuff. And then I had Serato 3.0, the beta version. And just deaded off my library. Everything gone. So I deleted it straight away, panicking, and then dropped back to the old one.
I think I was more scared to use it in a club situation. I've still not used it actually live in the club yet, even though it's like official now and it's out there. I think there's something telling me that I'm still a bit shook to really, really give it a test run, man. I have nightmares about that stuff, locking off in the middle of a set. Because like that 5-10 seconds or whatever it is, like the computer's off, is like...
Horrible.
Well, that's the stuff, yeah, like you say, that's nightmare material. And that 10 seconds feels like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have used it in a club, but only in a warm-up scenario. Shouts to my boy DJ Tino. He has it on his laptop and he's running it. So he was doing a warm-up and I just jumped on before I did my proper set. I just jumped onto his and was just mucking about with it early. It's fascinating, bro. It's so sick what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because suddenly, like, you have the instrumental for every single song that you have. Yeah. Or you have the a cappella for every single song that you own.
Some of it can sound a bit questionable, innit? Like some songs they separate perfectly, and then there's where it's a little bit like I can imagine in a club scenario, like jumping out of a system, some of them might sound a bit questionable.
Yeah.
But still, like, to just do stuff on the fly, like, mad. They've opened up a completely different world for DJs. Like, it's...
Yeah, it is crazy. But although I say that, I was on it probably for about half an hour, really flexing and learning how to use it. Mm. And then his CPU warning started going up and the computer started stuttering quite a lot.
Yeah,
USB dropouts and that. And so it was cooking his computer. So it uses a lot of CPU...
Basically, whatever what you're meant to do, bro, is you've got to analyze the stems beforehand. That, like, they tell you, you can basically build. There's like a stem crate where you can like throw it in and analyze them before, so it doesn't do like the intense bit where it actually separates the stems out. It won't do that on the fly while you're in a club scenario because that's what's beating up the CPU.
I think it depends if you can be
prepping it beforehand, innit? Which, if you want to do stuff on the fly, you're not going to really be thinking about analyzing stems before you go to the club. So,
I'm not really one for prepping, to be honest. Yeah, I'm not like, I don't sit and plan and do this if I'm doing stuff like that. Like how you do it and how I do it, I just use an a cappella now.
Yeah.
If I want to do stuff like that, I've always just, I'll chuck an a cappella down and then run beats under it and stuff like that. I don't plan that. That just happens. So I don't ever want to sit and plan how I'm going to mash it up on stems, etc. I think when they get to like 3.3, 3.4, I think they'll have settled a lot of the bugs down. They'll have worked out a lot of the problems and ironed out some of the creases.
It works fine at home, bro. I've been beasting it in the yard, and it's never crashed on me. Like, I was trying to do a 4-deck thing.
Sick.
Baseline on one, beat on the other. Acapella on the other thing, like, and my computer's fucking...
Yeah,
doing the puffing. Fan is breathing like a fucking Game of Thrones dragon, mate. Oh, my days. But now, honestly, though, big up Serato because I've been waiting for it. That's what I've been waiting for this.
Like, something like so this is properly, they've really revolutionized things.
Now, do you know what, bro? Like, they haven't. I was getting abused. Oh, we've had this for ages over here, though.
No, fuck them geeky guys. Like, no one cares about them because your software that you've had it for ages, it ain't the market leader. Like, okay, cool. You've been at home cooking up the wildest food, but until it's out there in the mainstream and all the big boy restaurants are doing it, bro, no one cares about your dish. No one cares. All the little geeky lot, like, no one cares about if you've been doing this for 10 years on your software that no one else fucking knows about. I don't care if it wasn't Serato's idea.
Someone comes sending for me on TikTok, man, in the comments, like, yeah, we've had this for ages. I was like, all right, bro, flipping.
I mean,
could have come and sent me in the comments. That ain't that deep, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, people get in their feelings, don't they? But I just think, like, whether they really came up with the idea or not, by the sounds of it, they didn't come up with the idea. But they've done it, and what they have done is brought it to what I consider to be the leading DJ software.
Which has opened
it up to all DJs. Now bedroom DJs could do it. Now new young club DJs can do it. Now everyone can do it off of Serato. You don't have to have some niche specialist software.
It's true.
I think that's sick.
It's just allowed people to just get so more hands-on creative now. Even people that are still like, even people when you're starting out on learning, like now you've got stem separation from the off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's actually bonkers, bro. Like,
DJing today, that's the norm for them.
That's what I'm saying. I just
have my acapellas and my instrumentals, and I can break that down to a drum beat or just a piano or like, whoo.
We come from a time where we used to beg to get the acapella on the on the B side of the vinyl.
Yeah.
Then we got a rip. And now man can just rip an acapella from anything. Bro, it's also an opportunity to just be stupid as well. Some of the edits I'm hearing. Like, you can just, I've seen man doing like drill acapellas with Christmas songs in that this year, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's opened up a flipping box of worms, bro. Like, it's not all positive. Like, there's going to be some awful edits out there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, they can't all be great.
There's going to be people doing that horrible monstrosities, but there's going to be some amazingness as well.
It's like when you hear an out of key, refix now. Bro, if you're using Serato, there's no excuse. It tells you the fucking key.
You can even change the key if it's.
You can even change the key to match.
Yeah, you can literally.
Are we just gonna put that down to the DJ being tone deaf, or?
Yeah, tone deaf and uneducated. You know, because not a lot of people, like, they don't go into it with an understanding of music and how music's made. I understand it because when I was 4 years old, bro, I was trained classically with a cello. Do you know what I mean? So I've got music theory there as a foundation. I understand about keys, but majority of people don't really have that. So I think they don't.
I don't know about keys and stuff, but my ear is like trained. Like, I can hear, I know what's in key. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you said to me, go and play a G or an F minor or whatever on a keyboard, I'd be like, no, but I can play the keyboard, I can play the piano, but I'm not, I can't read music. Or if you told me to play certain notes, I won't be able to do it.
No, but what you do have an understanding of is if one acapella is singing a certain note and you put it on an instrumental that's a different key,
it sounds off. Out
of tune.
Yeah, but some people are posting edits out that sound like that, so they're not hearing it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, some people are playing Pop Smoke at 94 BPM, bro.
Oh, my God!
When it's a 72 BPM
track. Oh, my God. Wait. Did we ever find out who that was, by the way? I don't even want this to turn into a cussing episode, but that needs addressing, that clip, mate.
Massively.
My man just thought, let's just hit sync and let's go.
What would you do if you're in the club, and you're DJing on the same lineup, and you're stood in the booth, and you're... All right, let me build it like this. You're waiting to come on. You're waiting to start. And the DJ plays that. What are you doing? Last was a bit fast. Yeah, that was probably like 93, 94 BPM.
Yeah, you can't go over 90 on
that. That's a little bit too fast for my liking. Personally.
Yeah, no, I hear it. No, you're right. To be fair to me, bro, I'd probably like say something, but in a jokey way, and like make a bit of a like laugh about it kind of thing. So like kind of let them know like, well, go on, but like let them, like, but have a bit.
How
of
are
a,
you doing it though? Let's a bit role, of a band- role play. role play it now. Let's like how. What are you saying to the guy? Like, here I am, DJing. Last Dance is going off at 94 BPM. And now I'm mixing in. Welcome to the party.
Like, do you know what, bro? Do you know what I need to see? I need to see that video. I want to see the DJ. You don't see the DJ?
No. It's just the girl's reaction.
I need to see the guy's reaction. I need to see if he's holding that confidently. Like, is he doing that with confidence? Or does he not know? Because it could be that catch again where he doesn't know. Some DJs, like, he might have been a new kid on the block that doesn't know any
but
different.
But you can't not know the difference in speed. Fucking ridiculous.
Well, yeah, exactly. But sometimes my man could have been in panic mode. Can't
22 BPM faster. Bro, if your heart goes 22 BPMs faster, you need to go hospital.
You're dead.
you can't play songs. 72 yeah. BPM you're dead, at 94 Sanka. BPM.
I'd probably just put my hand on his shoulder and be like, bro, that's a bit rapid, you know? I'd just have a laugh with him, brother. I wouldn't be able to. Because at that point, it's like, it's that fast.
Yeah.
You got to laugh. You've just got to laugh.
It's happened to me. We actually have discussed this.
We had the conversation about dancehall being played fast, but playing no, pop smoke.
This very specific situation, though, do you remember? I can't remember what BPM it was, but it was Playground Rhythm. Oh. It was like Beanie Man, Who Am I? And the DJ was playing at like
I remember.
112 BPM or something. Do you remember? We actually had this whole conversation. And in a polite way, I kind of stuck it on him and was just a bit like, bro, like, slow the song down. It's not soca. Do you know what I mean? Like,
why don't you just go up and just go like that on the pitch fader?
I mean, I'm not going to.
Just don't say nothing.
I'm not going to start flying the plane for him. But at that exact moment, I was like, bro, like, this is way too fast. I was looking around and people were stood there looking like, why is it going so quickly? Even the key lock wasn't even on, so the voice was chipmunked.
Oh yeah. If the key lock's off, that's even worse. That's like when you had a tape in like the old tape deck back in the day, and the thing would start unraveling because the tape deck was broken, or the tape would start flying out. I think you can get away with it in dancehall to an extent because part of the culture, isn't it? Like, they always speed them up like super crazy.
That one was too much. But yeah, if I was in the club when that Pop Smoke came on after Last,
we should find the guy and bring him on.
No.
Yeah, and we can ask him.
Just tweet him and ask him.
After this episode, I'm gonna find him.
Let's find out who it was.
Yeah.
And let's send the DJ community after him. Let's educate him.
Our first episode back, yeah.
But yeah, that was
could have come and fired, man.
Yeah, if I'm in the club and I'm DJing, if I'm DJing there, if I'm just there as a customer, I'm just gonna stand still and look and just be like, what's going on, bro? But I'm saying something. If I'm on the lineup that night, respectfully, I'm saying, like, what are you doing?
She was being nice as well, to be fair, the lady. She just done a little, like
she, I mean, she, yeah, but she was just holding it down a little dancing.
Bit. I think she was just in shock. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is,
never mind the tempo. It's not the tempo. It's the switch of genre.
Yeah, that was a.
You don't go from last. That's one of them sets where man just want to run every. All the hits possible, don't matter what genre or BPM they are at. These are all going in this power hour set right now. No matter which way it's going to fit somewhere, we're going to make it work.
Yeah.
That happens.
The main DJ's coming on. I'm down to my last 10 minutes and I want to impress everyone.
It happens.
I want to be the big boy. It's 5 to 11.
Do you know what? I like it now. I actually like it when a DJ does that now because I'm just thinking, bro, you can't burn me. My crates are long.
Yeah, I feel the same. You can't burn me, but I don't like it.
No, we don't like it. It's not the way to behave in it. But
I don't like it.
For me personally, I'm just like, do your thing, and it's not really going to affect how I play afterwards. So, yeah. It might affect the overall vibe of the night, innit? Because you know what it's like, bro, when DJs aren't, you got everything's got to complement each other in it for a night to run well. So if you've got one guy in the middle acting silly, it can throw off the whole thing. But it's not going to affect my personal set. Like, I'm still
no, same. But I mean, it does bug me though. It doesn't put me in an awkward position. I'm not like, oh shit, I don't know what to play. But it does annoy me if someone who's warming up, like if it's not time appropriate, plays the bangers that you're thinking of playing in your set. It annoys me because I'm just like, and that's because I have the rule of if it's been played, it's been burned. Yeah. Except last. Like I said, that was exempt.
This guy just nearly twisted himself up again.
And that one, that's because it's a personal favorite of mine. other DJs, you know, other DJs will.
Yeah, that guy's. He's done it in the same episode.
Yeah, I don't care. Other DJs will repeat that song or repeat big songs because they've run out of how to please the crowd.
Yeah,
they don't know how to bring vibes back, so they have to play the big song that went off earlier because they don't know what else to do.
You feel like the crowds are getting harder to play to as well, bro. Like in going back to that attention span thing, I feel like since we last recorded to now, I think it's gone even worse.
I've definitely noticed attention span has dropped massively, but I don't know. It's difficult for me to really comment on like club land like that because
you've been
majority of
the
sets I've done but this is the thing, if they have been club sets, they've more often than not been with the artists that I'm touring with as well, so the excitement is in the room anyway. People are gassed because one of the artists is there, do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's quite difficult for me to say based on like a regular club night, if that makes sense. You know why I'm calling it regular club night, but like a regular normal residency club night, it's difficult. Well, okay. I've kept my residency, my Saturday night residency. I made sure that I was there as much as possible just so that I could keep the rust off. I didn't want to just turn into a tour DJ and lose.
That ring rust is actually a real thing as well, man. Like if you step away from the clubs for a bit and come back, like you feel like you got to find your way again, kind of thing, innit? You got to feel it out.
100%. 100%.
Like you got to get back on the bike.
I found with my hosting, which is really strange because I host a lot in the warm up to RD coming onto the stage or Potter coming on the stage. And then I'm on the mic throughout the show, hosting and hyping and doing all that stuff. But yeah, in the club sets, actually, a couple of my club sets, I kind of was like, got halfway through the set and thought, I'm not really like,
fuck the mic off.
Fresh in my mind. Yeah, you know, in my head, I was kind of like, usually I just talk. I just say, I don't have stuff planned. I just talk and I just chat.
There's been
a couple of instances where I've like, thought about like, shit, I need to actually speak. I haven't spoken for about 10 minutes on the mic. I need to do something. What shall I do? Like,
I've got a full night sometimes.
Full night without the mic? I do occasionally, but I think it helps the vibe. And obviously, you know my style anyway. So when I'm switching genres or switching like tempos or whatnot, sometimes I use a little talk gap to bridge the gap between the two things.
Yeah, it's part of your show, that though, man. Like your mic work is on a different level, man. I always say it, like my man's a G with the mic. There's an art in itself to that. Like I see people calling themselves hosts and all that, but there's levels to this. Like to be able to host and hold the mic confidently and properly, where the people just take it in. Do you know what I mean? Like they've got to believe, the crowd has to believe in the guy holding the mic too.
Yeah, 100.
So key. Like if you're up there sounding like you're struggling or you're not confident, like even if you don't feel confident inside, as long as it comes out your mouth sounding confident, the crowd will take it 9 times out of 10.
Say it with your chest.
100%. Like that's the key, man. I've learned that. Even like going away and doing the bits and doing the show with Meeks and that in the summer, I'd not used the mic warming up for an artist for ages. Yeah. And I remember thinking, shit. I remember I was shook, mate. Obviously, once you get up there and you got your first few words out and that, it's absolutely fine. But but there's a different level to that. So I take my hat off to anyone that holds a mic on stage, especially. Because even like hosting in a club to hosting an artist, it's a completely different approach.
Oh, mate, massively. Yeah. And you know, the other thing as a DJ as well, like when it comes to working with an artist, we're not the main attraction.
Mm-hmm.
100%. As a DJ double club set, I'm the main attraction, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm the reason that people are listening. Like, so it's about me and what I bring. But when I'm doing stuff, or when you're doing stuff as a tour DJ,
we're a side piece when it's an artist. We're basically just there to compliment.
Literally, backup dancer.
Yeah, well, that's a compliment the show, isn't it, really?
100%. You're not there as the main artist. They want to see the artist. So you can't talk too much and you can't overpower on the show because it's the artist's job.
Yeah, yeah, 100. Big up all the hosts, man. Big up all the mic men, because that shit not easy, yo. Trust me.
Not all of them. There's a lot of shit ones.
That was definitely one of my things for this year. Was trying to improve mic work in the club surrounding, because I was in a place where I wasn't even using the mic at all. But it's like Donch. Donch doesn't use a mic, yeah, but he'll talk through the way he DJs. Some DJs, not many, but there's a handful that don't need to use a mic, and they'll talk through the music.
That's interesting, because like Donch is like the way really successful. He's really successful with the industry
100.
And our industry parties in London 100. As well. He shells it. I've seen crazy videos of him doing a madness.
But never says a word.
Does he have a host though? Does he maybe...
Bruv, we've had him at Compound a couple of times. No mic man, nothing. Like, yeah. My man will just...
Speaks with his hands.
He just, yeah, basically, yeah. Like, some DJs just don't need it. Like, some DJs don't need, like, so there's some of these technical ones in America, they won't touch a mic, but they'll just be absolutely langing it. Like, I think it just depends, man. Everyone's situation is different. So,
yeah.
In Compound, I use a mic, but that's only because it's our thing. Yeah. But other than that, I don't really use a mic heavy, unless it's like a big show or if it's like a concert thing or something. Like, most of the club stuff, I won't even touch the mic. I'll play my intro instead, and then I got to put my first. When I'm booked to like guest sets, I'll do like the intro stuff and whatever else. But if it's just a residency or something local, where like if it's in Manny, don't need it's my city, and I don't need to do nothing like that here. So yeah, man. Yeah, boy.
Vibes. Oh, is this Vibes. The end? Is this the end of episode one?
Yeah,
season 2, episode 1.
Yeah, we said we wanted to stick to the time schedule this year, this season. And we're already over by 10 minutes. So,
wow.
And I feel like we didn't really touch. Today was just more of getting back on the bike. Like what we're saying about the DJing and the hosting and all that. We're just getting back on the bike, feeling it out.
Making friends again.
I'm not well. Me and Double's not well. Like, this has been a bit of a fucking mess, to be honest, but...
But we're back, motherfuckers.
We're back. Honestly, give us a minute. We're gonna be back on it. Trust me. I was nervous coming back on, bro.
Pussy.
The first 30 minutes, I was like, oh, I feel a bit nervous here. What's going on? I just need to back on the bike. I'll say it again.
And we're back. We're back. Weekly episode, season 2 begins right now. It's the Talk Over podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and big ups to all of the brand new listeners as well that have joined the family and are listening to the first drop
We're on way more platforms now as well, bro. We're on all of them now. All the American dudes are on iHeart and all the other bits and bobs. We're on Amazon as well.
We're on everything now.
Yeah, we're on like Deezer and all these random ones. So yeah, literally, you can find us fucking everywhere, bro.
Everywhere. Hit up the socials. There's a link in all of the bios of the socials. You can have us streaming on your favorite platform, no matter what it is. Oh, and one more thing. If you are listening to this episode, you probably know this already, but you may have to resubscribe if you listen via Apple Podcasts, because very long, very boring story, technical difficulty. We had to re-up everything on Apple Podcasts. Basically,
and Double was using a platform from 1987. That was
basically. So yeah, technical problems. We had to re-up everything. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure just go in and double check that you are following where this episode has appeared, and then you'll get up to date with all the new weekly ones for season 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 forever.
When are we uploading this?
Now, basically,
now.
Oh,
so yeah. I'm dying.
Stylo Double Talk Over podcast for the DJs by the DJs. The end.
Feels good to be back, man.
Yeah, it fucking does.
You look all pom-pom.